Good morning, everyone. This is John Alls from Independence Baptist Church, and we want to welcome you back this morning. Last week, we started on the topic of music and its place in the worship service of God. Now, and as I mentioned last week, some of the aspects we will be covering are: what is music or singing in worship supposed to be? When should it be? Who should be singing? Why should we sing? And should instruments be involved? Now, before we get started on this week's topics, I want to take just a second to recap the points from last week. Our first point from last week was, should music be involved in worshiping God? And of course, the answer was yes. And the answer was yes because of verses like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, which tells us that we should sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. We also found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, that we are to use singing as a way to teach and admonish others. And we also found last week that 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 25, tells us that through David, Gad, and Nathan, the Lord commanded that music be used in certain aspects of worship. We also found last week a couple of the points about what music is supposed to be in a worship service. We found these through Psalms chapter 47, verse 6, that tells us that singing is supposed to be a praise to God. And we also found from Psalms chapter 51, verse 14, that it is to be about His righteousness. Now, this week, we're going to continue on that point about what music is supposed to be in worship. We've already covered those two small components of that, and there's a lot more to go. So let's go ahead and get started here in Psalms chapter 66, verse 2. If you look at Psalms chapter 66, verse 2, it's going to tell you, sing forth the honor of His name, make His praise glorious. Now I'm going to back up for just a second and read verse 1. Psalms chapter 66 says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name, make His praise glorious. So we find here in Psalms chapter 66, verse 2, that when we sing, those songs are supposed to bring honor and show honor to God and His name. So when you're singing a song or you're thinking about a song and whether or not that song is good, does it bring honor to God? Does it show forth His righteousness? Does it praise Him? Those are the three points that we've found so far. And I tell you what, there's a lot of songs that sound good. The rhythm is right, the tune is right, whatever you want to say. And even some of the words are right. But you have to look at that song in its entirety. Does that song and the words to that song bring praise to God's name, show His righteousness, and show Him honor? Okay. I also want you to take a minute and turn to Psalms chapter 89, verse 1. Psalms chapter 89 and verse 1. Now, I like the way this psalm starts. It's very personal. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness unto all generations. Verse 2 says, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Verse 3 says, I have made a covenant with my chosen, I have sworn unto David my servant. And then it goes on to talk about what was sworn unto David. But let's back up here and look in verse 1. We already know that the song is supposed to praise God, show His righteousness, and bring honor to Him. And here in verse 1 of Psalms chapter 89, we find that it's also supposed to be about His mercies. Now, if you've studied very much at all about Jesus Christ and the Lord, you've studied the Bible, you know that that's a main theme throughout it, that God is merciful. Jesus came, He gave Himself that we might, if we put our faith and trust in Him, that we might have the mercy of God. That mercy is something that is something we don't deserve. He is showing us mercy even when we don't deserve it. And this verse here says that when you sing, your songs need to show forth His mercy. Not only do you want to show forth the Lord's mercy in your song, you also want to show to all of the generations to come that the Lord's faithful. I think this ties back to the verse that we read in Colossians. I think it was Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, where it says, we're supposed to teach and admonish others through our singing. That's what this verse here is talking about. I'm going to make known the Lord's faithfulness unto all generations. I'm going to show the next generation what Jesus has done to me and how he has been faithful to me. All right, let's go ahead and look in Psalms chapter 95. Psalms chapter 95, verses 1 and 2. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So I got a couple things that we want to say about this. One, it's supposed to be showing our thankfulness to him. But you know what else? It's supposed to be joyful. Now, I'm not going to say that there isn't a time where song song is not always going to be joyful. Okay? There are times when you are brokenhearted and you are repentant. I'm not going to say that you couldn't have a song of repentance. You couldn't have a song showing the sorrow in your heart. But when you're worshiping the Lord, in this verse, it talks about you want to be joyful. You want to show forth your thanksgiving to the Lord in joy. You know, I've led song services at Independence Baptist Church off and on, and it's kind of neat when you're sitting there and you're singing and you watch the crowd as they're singing and you can see them as they read the words and it means something. You know, it's so easy to sing the song. You've sang it 100 times. You know it by heart. It's so easy just to sing it and you're just floating along and the song's over and you haven't even realized what you've done. But let me tell you what, when you're looking out over the crowd and you see those people sitting there and they're looking at those books and you can tell by the expression on their face that those words mean something to them. Those words are showing forth their thankfulness, their joy, what the Lord has done for them. It is a neat, neat thing to see that. And it has really made me sit back. And when I sing, I don't want to just sing, get the tune right, and get it out. I want to concentrate on the words and think about what I'm singing and what I'm saying to the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and we will also turn to Psalms chapter 96, verse 2. Psalms 96, verse 2 says, O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. And verse 2 says, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And I could just keep going. This whole chapter, matter of fact, most of these chapters I've started, the whole verse or the whole chapter is really showing and explaining that psalm and what that psalm was about. And here we find a couple things. In verse 2 it says, sing unto the Lord, bless his name. So when we sing, we're supposed to be blessing him. We're not talking about what we've done. We're not talking about all the things that we've accomplished. We are blessing and praising him. We are declaring his glory. We are showing his salvation. And this again comes back to that verse in Colossians 3:16, where it talks about teaching and admonishing others. We are supposed to show his salvation. The salvation that he gave to us, we're supposed to show it to others. We're supposed to declare his glory to the heathen and to those that don't believe. Song is a powerful thing. You may have somebody that hears the words to a song that would never listen to you hold open the Bible and show it to them. The Lord may use a song to get somebody's attention so that they will listen to the rest of it. And this verse here says you're supposed to use your song to declare his glory to even the heathen. So, I mean, there's a lot in here. And we have only scratched the surface of all of the different things that we can cover about what songs are supposed to be when it comes to worshiping the Lord. And we will try to get a few more of these done here this week. If you go ahead and turn over to Psalms chapter 101, Psalms chapter 101, and we'll start here in verse 1. It says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. You know, we read earlier about the song that we sing is supposed to talk about the Lord's mercy and His faithfulness. But if you look at Psalms chapter 101, verse 1, it's not just about His mercy. It's also supposed to be about His judgment. Because not only is He the one that metes out mercy, He's also the one that hands out judgment. And you know, as a lost sinner, we come to the Lord, we recognize what we are, and we repent of what we are, and we recognize what the Lord has done for us, and He shows us mercy in spite of everything that we've done. But you know, Luke talks about the rich man and Lazarus, and that the rich man, when he died, he went to hell. It's not just mercy. The Lord is also the one that metes out judgment. And this verse here tells us that sometimes our song is not just supposed to talk about His mercy. It's supposed to talk about His judgment. And I think that's a perfect example of where some of these songs that we sing, the hymns we sing, talk about. You know, the one that comes to mind, it talks about, O Careless Soul. That song is talking about, if you don't take the gift that the Lord has given, if you don't recognize what you are, what awaits you? That song tells you the judgments that are before the lost sinner that does not accept Christ as their Savior. And so it can be, the songs can be about His mercy, they can be about His judgment, but no matter what they're about in that aspect, they are supposed to show forth His glory, His righteousness, His power. And there is just so much in just these handful of verses we're reading. And I'll be honest, I'm not even reading all of them. And I think you'd even get more out of these if you were able to read the entire chapter. All right, for time's sake, we're going to go ahead and move on. We're going to look at Psalms chapter 147. Psalms chapter 147. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Now, I've talked about what it's supposed to be singing about. It's supposed to be singing about His judgment, His mercy, His glory, His honor. We're supposed to be singing about the thankfulness in our heart with joy to Him. But in this verse, I'm going to talk a little bit about not necessarily what it's supposed to be about, but how it's supposed to be sung. Now, if you look at this, it says, in the last part of the verse 1, it says, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. You know, when we sing, it's supposed to be something that's pleasant. It's not supposed to be something that's harsh and cruel and grinding sounds, almost irritating, harsh noises. I mean, it is supposed to be something that's pleasant. It's supposed to be, and not just the music. I'm not just talking about the music and the tune. I'm talking about the words and the music. They are supposed to be pleasant. The praise to our God is supposed to be comely. It's supposed to be something that is pleasant for others to listen to hear. It is supposed to be admonishing and teaching others about what the Lord has done for us. So it shouldn't come across as harsh and grinding, or harsh and, you know, just grating on the nerves. It's supposed to be pleasant. It's supposed to be comely to our Lord. And I think if you take a look, if you look up that word comely, that's something that we may want to do. If you take a look at that word comely actually means beautiful or suitable. I'm actually running out of time for this week, and we've just got a couple more things here on this particular topic to clean up before we move on to the next point. But I do want to thank you again for listening today, and I hope it's been a blessing to you, and we will talk to you again next week.